Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB. Hey, welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sand Hills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, along with Bob or Robert Levy, whichever you choose.
Hey, good morning, Steve. It's a wonderful day. Wonderful day. Good day to get out there and early vote. Because you can go to Southern Pines, you can go to the Ag Center in Carthage, and go out and let your voice be heard.
That's right. And Robert's one of the ones that wants your voice on him because...
Well, I'd like that vote to reelect me to the school board. It'd be nice. You know, what can I say?
Yeah. So keep that in mind. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area. It's going to be a nice voting day. What can I say? The increase in clouds, but a high of 65 tonight. Showers likely mainly after 4 a.m. It'll look for a low of 49. Friday, showers before 1 p.m., and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 1 and 4. Then a chance of showers after 4. In other words, you're going to get wet. Look for a high Friday. Where'd they hide it? 64 degrees. Friday night, clear, 39, and Saturday, let's see here. Saturday, come on, headphones, quit it. Chance of showers after 1 p.m., mostly sunny otherwise, with a high of 57. Clear Saturday night, 27 for a low, and Sunday, sunny with a high of 55. I looked on the long-range forecast, and over the next 15 days, there's no sign of any snow.
Uh-oh.
So once hit March, the chance of it snowing about zip.
Well, you know, that's a tragedy. My wife over at the toy shop has all these sleds. And what are we going to do with them now?
Yeah, better put wheels on them.
Yeah, we'll have to go down a hill with a lot of sand on it. I've no idea.
Yeah.
But, That's okay. I love the global warming, and you got some... Does this music qualify as beach music? It's soft soul.
Yeah.
But, it's reminding me we're going to go down to Ocean Drive. Going to go down to OD, and we're going to shag. And, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah. Right now, around the Sand Hills, winds are calm. Pressure 30-15 steady. 2.34, humidity 64%. It is sunny and 46 degrees. Good voting weather. Here at Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB. All righty. It is 8:33 past the hour on this Thursday morning. One more day. We can make it. Pretty sure of that.
You know, my wife and I had an argument, and the argument was that the Beach Boys were beach music. And I said, no. The Drifters, you know, and said, that's not beach music.
That's Carolina Beach.
I said, that is Carolina beach music. You grow up in the Carolinas, that is beach music.
Yep.
And, she's from California, and, the Beach Boys, that's not what we call beach music. And you got to, when you come down to North Carolina, and you come down to the Sand Hills, you got to understand that. It's part of the culture, you know.
Well, if you can shag to it, it's pretty much beach music. It's not.
Exactly like, you know, you got to go, got to remember the Spanish Galleon and those days when I was a little less than sober over at Ocean Drive as a young kid, maybe could have been underage, but kids don't do that, you know. Those were interesting days.
All right. Well, you, of course, like we mentioned, are the chairman of the Moore County School System, and that's kind of what I'm going to lean on some this half hour.
Okay, well, let's talk about schools because we have the finest schools in North Carolina. I was just at a meeting on vocational education. We call it CRT, but it's really vocational education. And we were talking about the fact that Moore County Schools now ranks about 10th in the state for certificates for kids who are looking at career education as opposed to academic education. So we're that's a little side of the school system that a lot of people when I meet them, they say we got to go back to vocational education. What they really don't understand, we were talking about it just yesterday with the superintendent, and a man from North Carolina, I think called My Future NC, and we were saying that we are really doing well in vocational education, and we have a new advanced technical high school, which is going to be on the grounds of Sand Hills Community College.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Okay, cool.
But let's first back up to elementary schools.
Elementary schools, yeah. It's elementary by Dear Watkins, right?
Cost about $35 million a piece. Are we through building those, or we got to have another one?
Well, we're going to be refurbishing and perhaps rebuilding Carthage Elementary. It's very high on our list. That along with Cameron Elementary, by the way, was built about the year I was born. So it needs a lot of work, a lot of renovation. So we're not finished with our elementary schools, and we need to relieve a little bit of what we expect to be overcrowding at Farm Life. And so that's going to be in the mix with Carthage Elementary. So, no, we're not finished building those elementary schools, but we're going to have to do a better job. We're going to have to look at the atrium ceilings and say, when you have a 12-foot ceiling, it looks beautiful, and it's all glass and stuff like that. But you have to say, who's heating it up there?
You know,
where's the heat going up there?
That's when you had to have ceiling fans to blow it back down.
That's right.
Keep it circulating.
That's right. So, we're going to be looking a lot closer at costs and the like than I think we did the last time.
And you got to keep those architects under control, because if you give them too much slack, they'll start designing monuments to themselves.
Well, that's one of the problems. Too many times people say, well, I want the most beautiful. Everybody wants a beautiful school. We do, because we want our students to be proud of a beautiful school, okay? But when it starts to cost money on top of money on top of money, then you have to say, well, what else could I do with that money? And don't forget, we want to avoid going into the bond market, because you go into the bond market these days, bonds are extremely high. So we want to see about a pay-as-you-go. We do have, we are looking at that very closely with the county commissioners. We just had a very, very productive meeting with the county commissioners talking about how we're going to try to finance a pay-as-you-go. We are guaranteed now 38.5% of all property and sales taxes which are budgeted in the county budget. So since we have that money, our operations and our maintenance hopefully are taken care of, and we're doing very, very well there, by the way. Just had a meeting with the superintendent. We're going to have a surplus of several million dollars year over year, and that's a good thing, because we're making sure that we're not spending money wildly, and we have a little bit of a cushion in case we're going to have a recession, so that we can still keep up the services that we've got. We are a very, very healthy school, and by the way, a lot of schools you're going to find out there's millions and millions of dollars, about $25 million, by the way, to Moore County Schools, which came in under COVID. And there are two ways that you could have, by the way, that money is ending, essentially, this year. So there are two ways you could have handled that. You could hire personnel, and then you have an academic, a physical cliff, okay, so that you don't have the money. all of a sudden the government has turned off the spigot, but you have to pay the people. And oddly enough, that's what the government wanted. But we did it a little bit more wisely. We made sure that there was very little physical cliff. We made sure that we used our money for temporary teaching, which is called learning recovery, summer schools and the like, and also for maintenance and for some of our HVAC systems and roofs and things like that. So we have almost no physical cliff when the COVID money runs out. So that's important.
All right, well, let's talk about one, I guess you say, pet peeve of mine.
Okay, a pet peeve of yours. Let's have a pet peeve, Steve. When I had a pet peeve in school, I would tell the teacher I had a pet peeve. And you know what they would tell me? They would say, Levy, grab the chalkboard. And when I would either grab the chalkboard or grab your ankles.
Or both.
And then I had a teacher who had Betsy. Betsy, she would say, was a meter stick. And she would say 39 inches of wood. And she would teach me a little lesson there. But she would never see me cry when she whacked me a little bit. We don't
That's
do
when
that.
You look at her and say, is that the best you can do?
That's exact. But we don't do that anymore. That is not what schools are about. It never worked, and it was never a good thing. But at any rate. That's the old school. Right. But go ahead. What's your pet peeve? My pet peeve was Betsy, that 39 inches of wood.
Well, mine is good people in Moore County put up their good hard-earned money to pay their taxes in on property taxes. That's what supports you, and primarily.
Well, I pay it myself. I paid $11,000 in taxes last year. Mm. So, but I know that.
Well, I knew you lived in a mansion.
not quite. That's one of the problems. You know, I always wanted to be a millionaire, and the closer that my house comes to it, the more frightened I am because I have to pay the taxes on that.
Right.
You know, so.
Capital gains to
sell it. At least the commercial property.
You get 6 months to reinvest.
Sure. Well, you got time to reinvest, and if it's a residential property, right. There is more time than that. I'll leave that to my accountant. I know the school board. I don't know the accounting of it.
All right. Let's stay on track with what I'm doing.
Okay,
here.
Okay. Let's talk about the school.
All right. One of the things that irritate me is that after people pay all these taxes in good faith to actually goes to the commissioners and they dole it out to where it has to go.
That's right.
All the commissioners are literally the bank to and the Supreme Court of the county. But it's what gets me is I saw this when I went in. I had low blood pressure and I ended up in the hospital for a day. And I was in a private room, if you call it that. And after about an hour of me being in there, waiting for people to show up and get me through this,
right?
The hallway started filling up with gurneys, and they filled them up with migrants on the gurneys. All the way up and all the way back down, it became a one-way strip.
That is a problem.
And that's not right. If I'm elected commissioner, I'm going to recommend that we send those patients to state and federal facilities because they're the ones dictating it, that you gotta fix them. No, I don't. One part of our package that you gave us at the beginning of the year. So anyway, when it comes to you, you got to educate them. One of the mandates put down on you is you have to educate all these childs, and you have to put in translators if they require one, which I think is extremely unfair I don't want them coming to school and just sitting there like a bump on the log either. That's why I recommend all, if you cannot survive on English, you can't speak it well enough, then you put it into a large classroom like in an auditorium. And you might break that down in segments. But regardless, you teach English all day, and pretty soon at that age, it'll sink in, and they'll learn enough to get by. Then you can let them out and join classes without being a disruption.
Well, you know, that is it's very interesting because Ken Benway, who is on our Board of Education, has suggested, this is his suggestion, that we have an English immersion class for at least 2 weeks prior to the beginning of school, at least for our northern elementary schools, which have a high amount of what we call ESL students, English as a second language. It's important to make sure that these kids master English. Now, there are two ways of looking at that. First of all, an educator will tell you that you can master there are two types of English that you master. Number one is conversational English, you know. I'm going to just dunk that ball in the basket, things like that. And then there is academic English, which is, you know, what is a participle? What is a gerund? What is a noun? Things like that, more technical language. The research tells us that it takes about 7 years for a student to master academic language. The idea of schooling for ESL students is that we have to give them a little bit of Spanish and a little bit of English so that they can learn, academics while they are learning their English. So that one of the more interesting things is that the ESL students will do well in math, but they won't do very well in English because math is, numbers are universal. They're actually Aramaic. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not English, they're not Spanish. But we do have a program at Robbins Elementary, and that is a Spanish immersion program. And that program gives kids half English every other day, half English and half Spanish. The question that we have to look at as a school board, and which we're pondering right now, is should we be giving much more English and much less Spanish? Are we doing the kids a disservice by giving them half in English and half in Spanish? Should the mix be different? And we're looking at that. Because if we want the kids to be successful, and that's the idea, is that we want the kids to be successful. And whether they are immigrants, migrants, whatever you want to call them, when they come to our schools, we bring them in. I can't stop what's going on at the border. I can't do anything about that. But I can educate kids. And our goal is to make them productive American citizens. And the way for them to become productive American citizens is for them to learn English and to learn it as quickly as humanly possible. Because these kids, especially the kids who come from families who have come across the border, they know what grit is. They know what it is to have a tough life. They know what it is to nearly drown in the Rio Grande coming across. Now, whether you think that's the right thing or the wrong thing, I get that. I personally want to see that border controlled. Yeah. I think this is terrible what's happening. But
people are starting to learn that that's got to be the solution to the border.
Right, right. But so far as our little world is concerned, mm-hmm. Okay, we have a Supreme Court ruling which says that we educate every kid. We are, by the way, St. Elsewhere. You know, you remember that TV show, St. Elsewhere.
What would prevent you if you say, okay, you put a mandate out that every kid needs to be educated? How about if I bring those students that can't function because they know no English and bring them over to federal school and we'll let them out?
Well, because...
There you go. Now, you can educate them like you want them educated, but you're not going to dump it on the backs of taxpayers who did not sign up for this crap.
Well, that would be very, very interesting, but it would not be a way. First of all, aside from the base over at Fort Bragg, I say Fort Bragg because we remember Braxton Bragg. It's not Fort Liberty, guys. It's Fort Bragg.
You say Fort Bragg, everybody knows what you're talking
right.
about.
Okay. There are base schools there, but there are basically no federal schools. So it sounds good. I don't think it would work. The bottom line is that... if you want to change that, you're going to have to change the Supreme Court rulings on the subject. In the Supreme Court, there was a case in Texas, and the case in Texas many years ago said, you can't come across the border and come to our schools if you don't pay tuition or something like that, because you're not a resident of the state of Texas because you're an illegal alien. That was the argument. Sorry. It didn't work in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, they come, you educate. We are
staying
elsewhere.
Well, you send a big check with it, and maybe we'll educate them. We're not doing it for free.
That you've got to go to our congressmen and our senators and tell them to send that money. Yeah. You know, what's interesting, we do get money, for instance, for military students. If you're a military-connected student, the federal government actually pays a subsidy to the local Board of Education for your education. And we use that to a great extent. We have a military liaison at our school system, and so we do well with that. Perhaps the federal government ought to give us a stipend for every undocumented illegal alien who comes into our school system. That's, as I say, above my pay grade. Mm-hmm. My pay grade is to educate every single student who comes through those doors. And here's the interesting part. You can go to a private school or you can go to a charter school. And when you go to those schools, they will take a kid, and they're supposed to take, at least the charter schools are supposed to take all comers, and they do a great job, and I love the charter schools. I think they especially are competition, and they keep us on our toes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when they have sometimes a troubled student, they will say, well, you don't do so well here, they tell the parents. Come over to the public schools, okay? And we take them, and we gladly take them, because we educate every single child, and we do the best job that we can. And
the child needs the background in order to even function in a school, and that is they need to know English.
Well, they do. And what is interesting is, while you do have kids who come in who know no English,
mm-hmm.
okay, kids are very, very smart.
I'm going to say, at that age, though, they pick up languages quick.
They do pick it up. And what I have said, actually, to some of our administrators is that we need a lot of our teachers to learn a lot more Spanish, not necessarily the kids. And let me explain to you why.
It's tougher for teachers to learn it.
Well, I understand it, but the teachers have to know when the kids are talking and they're talking privately and they're talking in Spanish or they're talking in some other language. They need to know what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, my mother, who did not talk English as her first language, when she would talk to her sister and didn't want me to know what was going on, she would talk in Yiddish.
Boy, were you screwed.
And So, by the way, when I used to play poker in California, poker is legal in California in certain cities. There was a rule: you had to speak English at the table, because people would speak another language. It might not necessarily be Spanish. It may be Arabic. It may be something else.
Stupid hairdo he put on
right.
himself.
I said, I have two kings. You have two aces, and I won't bet against you. But the bottom line is that we need to make sure that the kids are going to be successful. And we need to teach them English as rapidly as we possibly can. That's our goal.
That's why I say an auditorium full of kids that need to learn English. And when they are proficient enough, they get out of that class and get into regular class.
Well, what we do as a version of that is we can't just stop their education and teach them nothing but English, but we can give them English immersion, and we can pull them out of class to give them special English instruction, and we can do this alternate day Spanish, although I think it's too much Spanish. I think we need much more English. And the idea is to get the kids to be able to progress in their grade. In other words, to be able to progress in their reading of English, even and progress in their math. Because don't forget, the math is numbers, but it's still taught by a teacher who speaks in English. And we have to allow them to progress in that while we're teaching English. We're doing double duty.
Well, if they know numbers and they know the symbols of subtract, multiply, divide, and all that, they should be able to do math.
You have to explain it to them. And you have to explain, you have to use to say, well, kids, I want you to cross multiply. To do a ratio, but you have to say that in English.
I got 2 minutes.
Okay,
I'll give them to you to tell us what you want to get done if reelected, and go from there.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we open within 2 years our new high school. That's on the grounds of Sand Hills Community College, our new advanced technical high school. We're going to make sure that we concentrate.
I have to bring you back for that because I got some items to talk about.
Well, no, that's important, and we need suggestions on that advanced technical high school. We want to redo Carthage Elementary. We've got a lot of maintenance. We've got $2 million necessary in immediate maintenance on these schools. We want our kids to be proud of the schools that they're going to. We need to do a lot better in, although we're doing well, we still need to do a lot better in recruitment and retention, okay? We need to hire a lot more school safety officers, our SROs. We're trying to do that, but it's very, very difficult to find qualified policemen. They are they are wanted in every police agency in North Carolina, but we're proud of the ones that we have, and they're doing a great job.
All right, Robert, Bob Levy, running for re-election to the Moore County School Board. I wish you the best of luck.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure having you in here, and we'll get you back another time to talk about that high school.
Okay, most definitely.
All right, and so it goes for this Thursday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow for a TSIF. Thanks, Steve. It's Friday. Until then, be sure to support the mom-and-pop businesses you hear on our station because they're the core of our lifeline here in Moore County. When you shop there, your money stays here and rolls over and creates jobs. All right, that's it for me. The leader man, Nick and Colt the dog, will all see you this afternoon at the dog park.